Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle reading taken from the letter of James in the second chapter. Hearing again at verse 15, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body? What good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament letter of James is challenging. It pulls no punches as it describes the way Christians ought to be. James, you just heard him insist that good works have a place in the life of a Christian. Not only that, James goes so far as to say that faith without works is dead. Who was James to talk that way anyway? Well, he was the half-brother of Jesus, a natural child of Joseph and Mary. James had been a skeptic of Jesus' claims, and that's probably putting it politely. Yet, seeing his dead brother come back to life convinced him that Jesus was in fact the Son of God, the promised Messiah. James built the rest of his life on Jesus' resurrection. And James rose to prominence in the Jerusalem Christian church. So what he wrote had authority and still does. So it's no coincidence that when you read what James wrote, it sounds an awful lot like Jesus. Like Jesus, James tells stories and paints word pictures to get his point across, and like Jesus, his main point is pretty blunt. James calls his listeners and readers to repentance. He says, if you don't turn away from sin, you will destroy yourself. Yet with God, there is mercy. There is forgiveness of sins. There is a new beginning. James's message is unsettling because Jesus' message is unsettling. Jesus wants you to grasp the depth of your sin and the height of God's love. What Jesus wants to give you is a new you. But to receive that new you, you're going to need to be absolutely humble and honest with God. James is just trying to tell you that. But do you want to hear it? James does something very much like Jesus when he uses a short story to get us to think. And here's the story. A religious person bumps into someone and notices that that someone is half naked and that they haven't had a wholesome meal for ages. And so this religious person says, "Well, have a good day. Stay warm and eat well." But does nothing about that person's needs. James then asks, what good is that person's faith? This bears a strong resemblance to Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that story. The religious professionals pass by the person in need while the social outcast helps the person in need. And Jesus asks, which one was a neighbor to the victim? Everyone knows the answer to both of these stories. The Samaritan was the neighbor because he moved to help. In James's story, what good is the person's faith? Not much. In fact, it might be dead. The problem with these stories is not that they're too hard to understand. The problem is what they expose. To say that we understand the point of James and Jesus, well, that's scary. Because we know our own inconsistencies. We remember the times where we have essentially said to people in need, keep warm and well fed, and passed by on the other side of the road. And if that wasn't bad enough, human nature is such that we can hear the good news. You are not saved by your works, which is true. But human nature hears that and says, great! Now I don't have to do anything. And it's that, more than anything, I think James is warning us against. A life of faith is not a life of inactivity. Faith is not a dead, lifeless thing. How can we sort this out? Well, let's start right here. James and Jesus and the Apostle Paul, for that matter, all agree we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. And a living faith results in works of love and service. Or, as Martin Luther once put it, we are saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. Or, as hymn writer Paul Sporatus once wrote, faith alone can justify. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. You may have heard the classic illustration of a fruit-bearing tree, a picture made stronger by the fact that Jesus himself used the language of vine, branches, and fruit. The fruit, or works, that you produce are not the cause of salvation. They are the result of salvation, the result of being connected to the vine, Jesus. Redemption comes from having roots down in Jesus, and his life flowing to you makes works appear on your branches. Yet it's hard to stop thinking about the guy who said, keep warm and well fed, and didn't do anything to help, because we've all been there. We've all made that choice. And that can gnaw at your conscience. And then you hear, faith without works is dead, and you think, is my faith actually dead? Am I living a lie? Let me encourage you a minute. If you're worried that your faith is dead, it's not. I say that because if your faith really was dead, you wouldn't care. Does that make sense? If faith was not alive in your heart, you'd simply be given over to yourself and doing whatever it is that you want to do. And the things of God wouldn't even cross your mind. But if you are concerned about the health of your faith in Jesus, if you do want to do more good than you're currently doing in His name, your faith is alive. It's alive and kicking. Be encouraged by that, please. Now, there is a flip side. It's not as positive. If you routinely look down your nose at people in need and come up with reasons not to help them, if the truth is that you're not helping or serving anyone really besides yourself, but identify as a Christian, James is saying you have a disconnect and your faith is flatlining. If that's too close for comfort, there's even good news for you. It's this. God in Christ gives life to dead things. The ultimate example is Jesus Himself. After dying under the weight of our sin, Jesus was restored to life. And every Christian baptism ever since is nothing less than a restoration to life. God excels at bringing dead things back to life. He will breathe life into your faith as you confess your need for Him. It is not too late for Him to resuscitate the life of your spirit. As it says in the 23rd Psalm, He restores my soul. So let's review. Faith alone can justify. Works serve our neighbor and supply the proof that faith is living. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone. But that faith is never alone. A living faith results in works of love and service. And do you know why this matters? Beyond your own internal spiritual condition? It matters because these works of love and service are how Christians have changed the world from the very beginning. The kingdom of God advances through works of love and service. It is the unique Christian response to the tragedies of the world. Do you know of any happening right now? The unique Christian response is to find someone to care for, someone to give to, someone to support. It's to mirror Jesus. It's to reflect Jesus to a shattered world, to show and tell of Him, to confirm His words of life with a life of love. So put your roots down into Jesus. Let your faith breathe. And be who He makes you. Let's pray. Come, O living Christ, renew us. As of old, in wind and flame, with the Spirit's power, endue us, servants of your saving name. Christ the Savior, Christ the servant, Christ whose kingdom we proclaim. Amen.